This is the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Let's join our hosts, Scott Patton and Martin Batella, now.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, along with Martin Batella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Doing good, Scott. Thanks for asking. And you?
Awesome. Awesome.
Getting ready to go traveling again?
I am getting ready to go on another cruise, heading back down to Florida and heading out to the Caribbean again. My sister's 25th wedding anniversary was last week, and we celebrated it and decided a few months ago that we would all get together and spend a couple weeks together on vacation as part of the celebration, because that doesn't happen every day.
I tell you, that's a pretty special thing.
It is.
So the whole family is going to go tropical.
That's right. We're all going native.
And coconuts and yaman.
And mañana. Okay. Walking on a beach and enjoying the sun and just having a great time.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good thing to break the pace. Just take a break. Enjoy.
That's right. That's right. And
relaxing is good.
That's right. I mean, that's
immediately my health nut brain pops up with things. Do you know that your body, when it's running too much cortisol, is causing to retain sodium?
First of all, I don't know what cortisol is.
The cortisol is the hormone that's released from your adrenals, and it's the hormone that's causing your body to react in the fight-flight reaction.
Okay.
It's the one that essentially shuts down your digestion, shuts down your sodium elimination, causes you to essentially go into the defend myself from the danger mode.
Right.
So if you have too many stressy events and not enough relaxing events in your life, you end up being dominant in cortisol. Your cortisol level goes up, and your body is unable to correctly digest. You know, digestion is active or open only when you're relaxed. Mm. So, you know, that's like you see that with cows or deer or whatever, you know, the ruminants, where they essentially shut down somewhere in a quiet spot and start ruminating.
Right.
And if something jumps up and scares them, the rumination stops, you know, the digestion stops. Every bit of energy is devoted now to running away from the danger.
So would you say that if you're driving in traffic and stopping and starting and people are cutting you off and you've got road rage going on and you're eating a Big Mac, that probably none of that is actually going to ever get digested?
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's something like that, yeah.
So everybody that's eating in a car, which I do all the time, and you're totally in a stressed situation, right?
Yeah, well, it's not about what situation you're in. It's more like, how can you handle the situation? Are you handling it well? You know, you could be driving in the craziest of traffic in the most peaceful mode.
Right, right.
Because if you're relaxed, you're relaxed. But if you're reacting to crazy stimuli, then you're not going to be digesting.
You said something about this impacting sodium.
Right, right. So when your cortisol level is high, your body stops eliminating sodium, which then raises the sodium level in the blood, which then in turn raises the blood pressure.
I see.
And so what's the antidote? Well, you need to start eliminating more sodium. How do you do that? You sweat it out. So, you know, a great antidote to a stressy lifestyle is a game of racquetball or soccer or just,
hot yoga.
I've
been doing hot yoga for the last few months, and I'll tell you, it's made a huge difference.
Are you a more relaxed person than you used to be?
No, I think
is your
so.
Is your blood pressure down?
I haven't tested it recently.
Right, but it probably is.
Yeah.
Right. So here goes the first of many myths that I wanted to talk to you about, which is the myth of salt.
Okay.
You know? I mean, the mainstream medical system would have you think that you must reduce sodium intake.
I've heard that many times, yep.
Yeah. Well, more than half of the population is salt deficient. Many people are weak because they don't have enough salt. Many people are suffering from the GERD, you know, the gastric esophageal reflux syndrome, or whatever the heck
acid
it's called.
Acid reflux syndrome?
Yeah, that acid reflux thing. It's known as GERD. There are people taking piles of pills, you know, the Xantax and Prevacids and all of that for that. And yet, it could be cured by intake of salt.
Wow.
At least that's what we have found is, you know, with the Himalayan crystal salt brine therapy.
I was just going to say, I know you well enough to know that you're not talking about that white salty stuff that everyone has on their dinner table.
Yeah, sorry to say, you know, the same discovery that we have made that refined sugar is not good for you and that refined white flour is not good for you. Yep, that holds for salt too. Refined white death salt is not good for you.
So you're talking about like a natural salt, a rock salt, the Himalayan salts that like.
Yeah, it needs to be whole salt, either the Celtic that's been, you know, the gray wet Celtic salt, or whole salt like the Himalayan. Yep. Unfortunately, there's no shortcut. This industrial food is not good for you, and that's no myth.
Yeah, it's just saying it's just like eating plastic, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to make a link between eating plastic and eating refined salt, but it certainly is not right.
So the myth one that we're going to talk about today, the myth of salt, is that we should be cutting back on salt. So we should be cutting back on refined dead salt and moving, eating more, consuming more
natural
healthy salt.
Right, but the other thing is that it's not that you have too much salt. What you have is not enough relaxation.
Right.
You know, when your blood pressure is rising and the doctor says cut your sodium intake to limit it, that is chasing the symptom. The cause is that your relaxation regime is not engaged long enough for your body to deal with the sodium content and properly dispose of it.
So we're really talking lifestyle here.
Yes. And the second thing is, if you're going to be, especially in the summer months, or if you're going into the tropics like you're going, you're going to be sweating in the situations you're in. I hope you'll be sweating.
Yeah.
Anyway, when you are sweating, you're getting rid of salt. You need to replenish that. I remember when I was working in the sawmill, very physical. I mean, we had water and salt tablets available to us all the time. And, you know, we were taking the salt tablets to remain strong, because if we didn't, we started getting dizzy and weak.
Interesting.
And that's because we were sweating out, you know, easily a gallon of water a day, because we were working, you know, full on in hot weather. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. It's don't believe that the symptoms are the cause. They never are.
Mm-hmm. So the Himalayan salt that you'd mentioned, are you talking about a salt bath or putting it on your food, or how would you consume it?
Well, what I do is I actually have the brine ready-made, so I take a teaspoon of the brine in the first glass of water that I drink in the morning. And I also do use the Himalayan salt in my cooking, which, you know, like my cooking is really simple. I put it in my salad dressing, and I guess if I have maybe some boiled potato, I'd put it on that.
Right.
But, you know, if I were serving the normal soups and all of that sort of thing, I would be using the Himalayan salt in that.
Very cool. All right, so what's the next myth that you want to smash today?
Well, I was just reading a newsletter that came into my inbox, which was talking about a recent upsurge in interest in vaccination and its relation to damage to children. You know, there's a fairly strong link between a child getting vaccinated and becoming autistic. And the mainstream medicine has been up in arms. You know, the pharma companies that manufacture the vaccines have been lobbying very strongly. ABC has put on a show called Eli Stone, which I have yet to watch. I still haven't seen the Eli Stone show, although it's on Thursdays and it's advertised as fun show, and I think I might enjoy it, but I haven't seen one yet.
Nor have I.
All the same, they did an episode in which there was a legal... Eli Stone is a lawyer, so there was a legal situation around a child that was damaged by vaccination, became autistic. And, I mean, the main thrust of the legal case they were making was not about to deal with immunization, but it was to deal with... like the big pharma company that makes the vaccine didn't allow his own child to receive a vaccination. And so the lawyer wins the case because he sees the two-facedness of the whole pharma industry, where they don't do themselves what they tell others to do. You know, that sort of thing. But anyway, the point of that was that the AAP... which is the American, what is AAP? American Academy of Pediatrics. They actually asked ABC to cancel the pilot episode, which was, I mean, what a marvelous piece of advertising that was, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some doctors start protesting that this show shouldn't be aired because it's too dangerous for the American people to watch a show like that. God forbid it may cause a drop in vaccinations.
Right, right.
But anyway, so sure enough, it must have created much more interest than the show would have. I mean, free advertising, right?
That's right, that's right. Tell everybody, oh no, you can't watch this, and
yeah,
everyone will be wanting to watch it.
Right. So anyway, so that the whole funniest thing, you know, like the president of the AAP, Dr. Jenkins, wrote, if parents watch this program and choose to deny their children immunizations as a result, ABC, the TV company, will share in the responsibility for the suffering and deaths that occur as a result. The consequences of a decline in immunization rates could be devastating to the health of our nation's children. So, if I let that sink in, they're essentially telling me that if I don't vaccinate my child, we're going to cause this child's significant problems, death even. But most of these vaccinations are really dealing with just convenience issues.
I agree, and I have a friend whose nephew was vaccinated. I guess the hard part for people to realize is that it's not... Some people will have a more... The result will be more dramatic than in other people, right?
Yeah.
Because she has two nephews and a niece, and I assume they've all been vaccinated, and
mm-hmm.
the middle child became autistic right after
right.
the vaccinations. In fact, they wanted to, you know, it was like three sessions, and after the first one, he got, you know, quite autistic.
Sick,
and the second one was worse, and then the mother had to, you know, basically, you know, take a hammer to the head of her husband, who was a veterinarian, who was just, oh yeah, this is the way to go, and not seeing at all that his child was...
dying.
Yeah, and the other two children didn't seem to have
any
reaction.
Right? And this is exactly how the mainstream gets away with doing what they're doing, because they're practicing statistics-based medicine instead of individual... you know, they're not treating the person as an individual. They're treating the person as a statistic.
Yeah.
And so what happens is they have these statistics that say, but majority of people don't have a problem, so therefore this is not a problem.
That's right.
And yet, Yet
it's
what happens?
It's a huge problem for those people that it's a problem for.
Yeah, exactly. And what happens if there appears to be a genetic predisposition in some people to not be able to eliminate toxins as well as the rest of the population? And it's actually quite common. I think it's about a quarter of the population that has that.
Wow.
I mean, I am one of them. You know, I have. I don't know how to, or my body doesn't know how to get rid of toxic metals. And thanks to my mercury poisoning through the dental amalgams, I've had a good deal of trouble.
Right, right.
And there are others. You know, there are people with chronic fatigue, with fibromyalgia, with multiple sclerosis, with lupus, you name them. You know, all of those ugly diseases of the autoimmune disorder, or I should call it autoimmune disorders, you know, where the body starts attacking itself.
Right.
And most of that is actually caused by the body's inability to get rid of toxins. So a lot of these vaccines actually contain mercury. So when you inject this infant, you know, teeny little baby, with mercury that it doesn't know how to eliminate, it just shuts down. It just causes tremendous trouble. So anyway, so going back to this TV show, right? So up in arms over the fact that the corporations are now able to have such power, both in advertising and in the legal power that they carry at the court, that they're able to essentially win cases that they have no business winning. And so the ordinary people down at the bottom of the pecking order, so to speak, are...
They're hearing only what the big business wants them to hear.
Yeah, so you as a consumer is being abused by the corporation because they can get away with it.
And nobody's holding them accountable.
Yeah, so from time to time we see this little guy wins over the big ugly corporation, right? Like a court case from time to time, like Erin Brockovich or something like that. Nice and big happens, right?
Right.
Anyway, so going back to vaccinations. So statistically, if everybody takes vaccinations, we're able to lower the number of infections that happen in the society. Mm-hmm. But individually, a whole bunch of people get to suffer for it. Some significant problems. And what we should be working on is we should be developing a test that allows us to know ahead of time, before we do the vaccinations, whether this person is or is not able to deal with it, whether their immune system is going to be strong enough to withstand this assault.
Yeah, that seems kind of obvious, doesn't it?
Yeah, but what it would require is for the corporation... pharmaceutical corporation to admit that there can be a problem.
Mm-hmm. Which now, then means that they would be having class action suits against them for billions of dollars for all these people who are autistic because they took this vaccination.
That's right. And
that's
same thing
in the 22, right?
Yeah, same thing in the dentistry, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that if they admitted that administering mercury into the mouths of people could cause fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, and so on, right? If they admitted that, I mean, the mayhem in courtrooms that would follow would be just bankrupting the entire dentistry, right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we talk about the 25% who have an obvious reaction to vaccination, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're autistic, there's the problem, but we don't know if the skyrocketing cancer rates is impacted by that. We don't know that the fact that you're tired in the afternoon when you're working is because you don't have all the energy you would have if you didn't have this vaccination in you.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you don't know. I mean, maybe we should all be glowing and, you know, so full of energy and that, you know, we can run miles and miles and miles without even, you know, taking, gasping for breath sort of thing. But we don't know because, you know, we've all been vaccinated, right?
Right. Yes. So, okay, so going back to the theory of vaccinations, if any of the listeners are parents of little children or just about to become parents and are contemplating vaccinations, you need to think long and hard whether you want to do this, because you are going to expose your children to significant assault to their immune system. And, I mean, at the very least, you could put it off, you know, instead of doing it in the first few weeks or months of their baby's lives, you can put it off till later. But also think hard whether that illness is or is not something that could kill the child. You know, I mean, the flu vaccines, it's just a joke. I mean, you're taking a flu vaccine so that you don't get a flu, which means, what is a flu? A week off in bed with lemon and a book?
Yeah.
And chicken soup? Yeah, sure.
Well, so, I have a friend, just talking about the flu here, whose wife, when his wife was like 3, every time anyone in the neighborhood had any illness, the mom grabbed the kid, took her, and made her play with the kid that was sick.
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, and he never told me if she, I mean, I assume that she got whatever the kid that was sick got and spent a week in bed and all the rest of it. But he's married to her, so I don't know how many years he's known her, but a lot of years. And he has never seen her with a cold, let alone a flu. Never a sniffle.
Right.
I mean,
of course.
So what the mom has done is increase the immune system of the child so much.
Yes.
That's kind of the, you know, do you want to increase your immune system or do you want to stick something in your body that maybe sort of helps you prevent getting that sickness? But there's a whole bunch of other sicknesses that you can now get, right?
Yeah, right. Well, it sort of does, but, you know, we were not supposed to be getting in contact with these viruses through an injection. You know, you're supposed to, you know, lick it or inhale it or, you know, come into contact with it in the natural way.
Right.
When you inject it, it's artificially killed, right? It's killed either with formaldehyde or sometimes with mercury or whatever else. Well, you're injecting that. That's not supposed to come into your bloodstream.
Yeah, it's insane.
Well, you said it. So, anyway, what I'm trying to come back to, the main point I want to make is that you really need to decide whether the vaccination's there for convenience or whether it's there for, you know, saving you from a significant problem.
Right.
I mean, if I were to go work in tropics, I would actually strongly consider getting a vaccination for yellow fever or something like that because, you know, the likelihood of getting it is fairly high.
Right. Polio was another one that the vaccination made a big difference in.
Yes, and yet it seems that the disease itself was on the decline by the time the vaccination arrived. So
right. So if you've got a strong, healthy body and you're exposed to polio, will you get it?
Well, you know, this was coming at the end of the, you know, it was early 50s, right after the war. Resources depleted. I don't know. I wish that there was some objective research done that would actually show whether this was or was not truly helped by the vaccinations.
Right.
I mean, not to take away from the suffering of the people who have had the polio.
Mm-hmm.
Not funny.
That's right. So I guess the place to sort of leave this particular myth is do your homework. You can get onto, you know, the internet and do a search on vaccines and autism, put the two in, and a whole bunch of stuff comes up. In fact, there's a couple YouTube videos on the ABC and Eli Stone that you were talking about earlier. So
mm-hmm.
I'll see if I can't get that up on our podcast page so people can just go there and
right.
and take a look for themselves.
Yeah, but yeah. The takeaway for me on this topic would be that. Not everybody has to be vaccinated, and especially if your child is showing the signs of having a weak immune system or being sensitive to things, then don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Put it off. That's what I would suggest.
Cool. So what's the next myth you want to smash?
What else do we want to do?
Yes.
I don't want to smash anything. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Okay, what myth do you want to uncover?
Yes.
Shine some light on.
Yeah, embrace.
Embrace.
Yes. Smother with love. Okay, well, how about this one? Yeah. Most men have been told that if they have prostate issues, they must find a way to not take testosterone or not increase levels of testosterone because it may accelerate their prostate cancer. Mm. Well, so the studies have been evaluated, the studies have been done, and there's no link. Doesn't work.
And isn't testosterone kind of a major part of being a guy?
Yeah, no testosterone, you're a girl. Remember a few podcasts back we were talking about the aging male syndrome?
Yes.
Right, so aging male is losing his testosterone levels, causing him to be cranky and causing him to be indecisive, depressed, and in many ways just less of a guy than he used to be. So anyway, people with enlarged prostate were especially cautioned to not get their testosterone levels up because it may cause cancer of the prostate. Well, so now it's the numbers are out. That's a myth. Now, the anti-myth here is that if you have sufficient levels of iodine in your body, and iodine you would intake probably through kelp or other seafoods.
Or put it on your skin, right?
Yeah, you can do the iodine patch, yes. Anyway, if you have sufficient levels of iodine, you don't get prostate problems. And for the ladies, with sufficient iodine, you don't get PMS. You don't get tender breasts. You don't get bloatiness. You don't get emotional outbursts before your period. That entire PMS thing, that's caused by iodine imbalances, 9 out of 10. So what we need folks to do is ingest iodine. Please eat kelp. And if you don't know how to get kelp, then get Exula superfoods. There's enough kelp in that to maintain not just your iodine levels, but all of the other stuff. All the coenzyme Q10 that keeps your heart healthy and your liver functioning and your... there's enough folate in there to keep your heart going and prevent cancer and all of that other business that causes people to function at less than perfect. So did I smash it?
No, you shone a nice, gentle kind of candlelight on it.
Yeah, there we go. So gentlemen, do not worry about your testosterone being too high. It probably isn't.
Right, and that's probably more of the problem, is that the testosterone is too low.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. So we're excited about the fact that men are allowed to keep their balls.
Yeah, that's right. we're allowed to remain men. But it's funny how, all this misinformation gets out there, and, people pick from this and pick from that and stick it all together, and when you think about it, like when you're in your 20s, you've got lots of testosterone, right?
Yes.
And you're pretty vibrant and healthy. So when you're 50 or 60 or 70 and you don't have all that much and you're weak and tired, like it's the common sense, right?
Yeah. So there we have it. Try and set up or establish or re-establish your physical function back to when you were 25, and don't worry about anything else.
That's right.
If the 25-year-old body requires a high level of DHEA and high level of testosterone, by all means, see if you can achieve that.
That's right. Because if you had maintained it, you would still be the same as you were when you were 25.
Right. And 25-year-olds have a whole lot lower incidence of cancer than 50-year-olds, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's amazing how many people, because I'm 51, how many people that I know, a little bit older, a little bit younger, that have some cancer or leukemia or something like that.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Okay. What's the next myth that we're going to shine a little light on?
So, join us next time for part 2.